Welcome to the Play in Faith podcast, where we dive into the world of sports through the lens of optimism, inspiration, and faith. We're on a mission to infuse youth sports culture with positivity and joy while building the largest network of college Christian athlete mentors in the world. Thanks for stopping by. Enjoy today's show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It is Coach Chris from the Play in Faith podcast. I am psyched. We've got an absolutely awesome interview today. We are talking with Warsaw Tiger basketball alum and Southeastern University basketball player, Miss Kaislyn Krebs. It is fantastic to have you today. How's it going, Kaislyn?
I'm good. Honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's exciting. We've had some awesome conversations. I can't wait to share your message with the world and all these young athletes out there all across the country. So just real quickly, tell me where you are right now, because I'm recording from close to your hometown. You are not in your hometown.
Yeah, no, not in my hometown. I'm actually in Palm Beach Gardens, like that county, all the way in South Florida. So yeah, not close to home at all, but good.
And you're a senior right now, correct? Senior year?
Yes. Senior year.
So we'll talk a little bit more about your career in a second. But so just tell, obviously basketball is a huge part of your life, but you're doing some really cool stuff now outside of basketball. So tell me a little bit of what you're doing down here in the Florida area, Palm Beach Gardens, because Southeastern University is in Lakeland.
Correct. Yes. Okay. Yes. Central Florida area. Now I'm in South Florida. So moved a little bit, but yeah, no, I actually am getting to do something that I just am so incredibly passionate about. And that actually stemmed from basketball, which is one of the greatest blessings that I've had. But now I'm getting to serve in students ministry at a church down here, and am getting to work alongside one of the directors there as a practicum student to also continue my college career. And I'm getting to just, again, work alongside students, getting to build relationships, do some really cool stuff through the church here. So
that's really cool. I love when sports can lead to opportunities in life, which is kind of our main mission here, and then ministry. Yeah. So what's the name of your church again? I know it's like a really, really huge church down there in Florida. Like, you guys are doing amazing things. So what's the name of the church again?
Yeah, Christ Fellowship.
Yeah, and that's John Maxwell's church, correct?
Yeah, he partners alongside this church, and I'm sure many others, but yes, yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine many of our folks are familiar with Mr. Maxwell's work, and I think he's sold a couple hundred zillion books on leadership.
Something like that,
I think he's like one of the best-selling business authors of all time, and what's really cool is that they're all coming from a Christian perspective, even if it's a little more subtle. So wonderful that you are there. So let's back up just a little bit about what brought you to that region in the first place. So tell me a little bit about your playing career at Southeastern University, and just so you are aware, the episode with your former coach Epperson and Victoria, who I believe you and Victoria are buddies, correct?
Yeah,
Victoria
absolutely
did an awesome job. Victoria McKnight and Coach Epperson were on here. We had a blast with them. So tell me a little bit about your playing career at Southeastern.
So I transferred into Southeastern my sophomore year of college and played under Coach Brian Neal for a year. And again, just I had a great experience with him. He was awesome. He ended up actually moving back away. He was moving away from home, actually, to come to Southeastern, and ended up finding a coaching position closer to home. And that's when Coach Epperson moved in. And again, I got to play for him for a little bit and have absolutely loved it. It was seriously just one of the most incredible experiences, I think, getting to get a Christian education and also have so many Christian mentors pouring into me on and off the floor was something that was, again, really special that I didn't know that I needed coming out of high school. So yeah, just a really, really unique experience. I could not rave enough about Southeastern. So
yeah, you can just tell they have such a special program down there. And I gave them both the compliment on air, because we interviewed them at the same time, which was the first for us.
Yeah.
And put them on the spot, made them answer some questions about one another. And you could just see like the bond and the love and the friendship and just the respect and just some of the awesome things that you guys are doing down there. So I did not pre-ask Coach on this one, but if Coach Epperson was going to yell one thing at you during your playing career, what do you think he would have yelled at you most? And he's not
Honestly,
a yeller. We probably established that Sam is not
no,
a
he is
yeller.
not a yeller by any means, which I think is why I'm taken off guard. But no, he would probably tell me to relax. That was one thing. I remember before I left, he had told me, he was like, I don't think I've ever had a shooter be in their own head as much as you. And he was like, you're an incredible shooter, but like you just could never get out of your own head. So he would probably tell me to relax, is what I would know. Coach Everson may text me and correct me later. So
I will
I
check in with him. I will. I need to
don't
tell
know.
him
Yeah,
hello and that we're
we'll
praying
see.
for him this season now that you got the games are underway. So
Right.
what's funny is I don't know that that is necessarily unique to you. Like obviously I'm coaching at a much younger level,
Yeah.
but I'll give you an example. 2 days ago in practice, I'm shooting around with one of my girls. She's 13, 14 years old, and kid came out and she must have canned 13 out of 15 from anywhere from mid-range to 3-point range. And at that age, I mean, that is knocking down shots. And the whole time she's telling me she's a bad shooter, that she's pushing it too much, her form isn't that good, and she's always in her head. And I was like, dude, you're out shooting a high school varsity workout right now, other than maybe it's your dad's program. But for most people, right? I mean, most kids are not coming out here and knocking down 13 out of 15 in warmups. And she's always in her head. And I told her, I said, you know what's funny is I've been hearing a lot lately about your weaknesses and what you're bad at and that you're not good at basketball. I said, but here's what troubles me. I'm only hearing it from one person, and that's you. And I'm not a big fan of coaching liars, so maybe we can knock that off, right? Like quit saying that to yourself. So one thing for a coach, and I mean she just smiled, and I'm sure like in one ear, out the other, and when she's 25, she'll be like, oh, Coach Chris was a nice guy. Right? So your coach is telling you to relax. How did you actually do that? Because I think we're all telling our athletes, have confidence, be bold, have some fun, but it doesn't always land for the player.
No, for sure. And I actually would correct you. Even at 13 and 14, I don't think it goes in one ear and out the other.
Okay.
As much as it may seem like that, and as much as in the moment maybe it did,
It does.
it takes those people in your life that are going to like unapologetically say some of those things to you that where it
Yeah.
doesn't sound fake. Nobody's forcing them to say it.
Sure.
And I know that that's nothing that I obviously could control in my life was who was pouring into me, but I look back and I know that I had so many people that were just like my biggest fans and
Yeah.
they got nothing from it. And so that's one thing that I would say, like
Well,
having those
I would
people
say
in your
thank you.
life.
I think I honestly do believe
No,
that. So
for
maybe
sure.
it's just a little like extra
No.
humility and bravado, but
No,
I
for
like to
sure.
acknowledge that as much as I try, and I'm very cautious of like I probably sound perfect on the air. I have failings and struggles like every other
No, for
coach, and by
sure.
no means am I waving a magic wand. It's like she walked out of there like Chris said this, now I'm cured, right? She's gonna
Yeah,
walk in the gym
no,
tomorrow and still struggle
exactly.
with her confidence and
No,
self-doubt,
for sure.
right?
No, and it's absolutely not a magic wand by any means. And I think
Yeah.
kind of transitioning into some of the things that like I had to do for myself,
Yeah.
it sounds really backwards, but I had to realize that it just wasn't as big of a deal as it actually is. And maybe I shouldn't be saying that on air,
I
but
know. I think it's amazing. Every athlete I've talked to has come to that realization at some point. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, especially for me, you get to college and you're like, oh, I did it. Like I got here and now what? And I think that's a big part of my story of just really figuring out like what I want to do with my life. But in terms of like shooting and playing, I think you get to that point where you're like, okay, I did it. I got here. And now, like, yeah, I'm getting paid to do this and it's a really big deal and I want to perform well, but like, my life doesn't depend on it. And I think you're at 13, 14, like, even in high school, everything feels like that shot is potentially like the turning point that's going to get you a college scholarship. And it doesn't work like that. And I wish I could
Sure.
tell high school and middle school Caitlin that it's not that big of a deal. And I think I would have enjoyed it a lot more.
Yeah.
And so I think I got to college and kind of it was just a habit at that point that like it was that big of a deal, even though I knew in my head it wasn't.
Oh, sure.
And so really like clothing myself in scripture, I think was what allowed for me to just have those moments of peace, like prior to games, and really reminding myself that like my purpose is so much bigger than putting a round ball through a hoop.
Yeah.
And so I hope that's answering your question. I feel like I'm kind of rambling at
No,
this
you're perfect.
point, but
No, you're
yeah.
perfect.
No.
I'm glad we went there because I think that is something that a lot of people struggle with. And when you said you wish you could tell 13 and 14-year-old Caitlin, like
Yeah.
to me, like the part that energizes me about this mission is that people like you are going to tell 13 and 14-year-old
Yeah.
someone, and
Great.
they're going to listen to you far
Yeah.
more than they're going to listen to mom, dad, me, coach, anyone
Yes.
else. But it is like a lot of pressure. And I think it brought up an interesting point, and I've been fascinated by this. So, because college is the goal for so many young high school, even late middle school athletes, it's get that scholarship, get to college, whether it's D1, D2, NAIA, D3, JUCO, just that's always the goal. When you reach that goal, for all but a very, very, very small select few, that is the end of the playing journey. Like professional sports is not even a thought or a reality for 95, 98, 99%. So what is it like at that point? Because everything has always been next step, right? Athletes, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm wired the same way. I should just be loving this journey, but it's no. What's next with Play in Faith? We're
Right,
going to be in
exactly.
50 states. We're going to be the law. Like, it's always something else.
Yes.
So when you get to that something else, how do you stay motivated, focused, and find that passion and purpose?
Yeah. I think that's part of why I absolutely love your mission because it's getting to talk to the kids that are going to potentially be playing in college prior to the time that they actually get there. Because that was one thing that I was like, I felt a little unprepared only because not in an athletic sense, not in an actual basketball playing sense. I spent my entire last 2 years of high school preparing for that. It was everything else that comes with being a college athlete that nobody tells you about. The fact that like all of the mental battles that you're going to be playing now, because when you go to the gym and you think you're getting work in and nobody else is, three of your other teammates are in there. And you're no longer the best player, the best person on your team because they have selected all of the best from their teams. And now it's
Sure.
like this mental game of like a lot of comparison. And that can be a really slippery slope to get into that I had to, I feel like, get myself out of very quickly. Just especially with my first year of college basketball, that was something that I could absolutely not even have continued to go down, or else I really don't think I would have continued playing. But yeah, I think a lot of it came back to my faith. I think I grew up a lot riding on the coattails of my parents, and I got to college and I was like, oh my goodness, this is not what has fulfilled me. And I thought
Real
for
quick,
the
when you
longest.
say riding on coattails, are you talking athletically or are you talking spiritually?
Spiritually,
Okay.
actually, a little bit of both. No, but
No,
I
I
think
just put you on blast. I was just curious. Like,
no.
I think that's
Yeah,
interesting. Okay.
no. I think spiritually, riding on the coattails of them. But also, I think in terms of athletically, my dad had been coaching me my entire life,
Sure.
and I found so much fulfillment, and I think being able to like please him in that sense and being successful in all of the things that I was doing athletically, because that's what I thought made him happy. Turns out it wasn't, but high school Caitlin thought that that's what made dad happy.
Sure.
And so then I get to college and now this is all me. And I think it was the realization of like, okay, what actually fulfills me? What actually is going to be like some, not just like joy in the moment, but sustainable joy. And I think I've really quickly figured out the difference between, I guess, not even joy, but like happiness and joy. They're very, very different.
Sure, even biblically, sure.
Yes, exactly. And so a lot of it was just, again, being really rooted in my faith. And I think realizing, like, okay, like I said earlier, like it's so much bigger than basketball. The purpose and the plan that the Lord has for me is so much bigger than basketball. And I think then getting to like bring that onto teams where maybe that wasn't the central focus, and getting to like be a leader, not just on the court, but also a spiritual leader for them. I think it took so much of the pressure off athletically because I
Right.
was finding a purpose outside of what I was doing in between the black lines. And again, I don't know if I'm answering your question the
No,
way you're
you're
wanting me to,
perfect.
but
No,
yeah.
I think that's fantastic. I mean, I find the more I do this, I'm incredibly blessed. I get to make friends with amazing people all over the world. I'm getting coaches or texts from people I interview with scores from coaches that I hadn't known before. Just like random
Yeah.
updates, like, hey, it's the coolest thing ever. I feel like I've got like a
Awesome.
hundred new best friends all over the world. And my prayer list is getting so long praying for all
Yeah,
these
right.
teams. It's getting exhausting. But no, I think what's so fascinating in these conversations is there's some recurrent themes that come up over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And I'm finding that athletes, whether they are 18, 19, whether they are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, that at some point that realization that our sport is not who we are, what matters is whose we are.
Right.
And
So
when we
good.
find that, ironically, our performance improves rather than weakens. When it becomes less about me, the me actually becomes better, and that's just such a difficult thing to learn. But I don't know if I've had a conversation yet where something along those lines hasn't come up. So
No.
I think
Yeah.
you answered the question very well. So I'm
No,
going to back
thanks.
up even further.
Yeah.
So for those of you who are maybe newer to our show or haven't listened to all of the episodes or aren't local, so Caitlin's father is Lenny Kreps, who we did, I believe, our second or third episode with, one of the early ones. We're gonna have him on again. Don't worry. I know you guys loved Lenny. I introduced him as legendary coach, and your dad looked so miserable. So we'll just call him Lenny or Coach Krebs from here on out. But so obviously, you are growing up playing for a very well-established, very well-respected, very well-known high school coach. You are playing at an elite high school program in not just Northern Indiana, but recognized statewide. And to top it all off, you are playing for dad. So a lot of blessings. Let's start there. What were the best things about playing for your dad in high school? Because
Oh man.
that amps up the pressure,
Yeah.
right? Just being at
Right.
Warsaw in general amps up the pressure. Now
Yep.
you are expected to win, but let's just be real. The expectations on you had to be higher just because of the name on the back of the jersey, not the front.
Yeah, right. Yeah, for sure. But at the same time, there were, like you said, so many blessings that came out of it that maybe, like, in the moment, I wasn't able to see. I won't lie to you, because of all of the pressure and all of the outside voices and everything else that came with that. But looking back, I wouldn't trade it for the world, because I have one of the coolest relationships, in my opinion, that anybody could have with their dad. Because I got to experience some of the things that maybe other people didn't, because it is a very unique situation that not everybody gets to be placed in, where they're getting to play under their dad. So yeah, I think now, just like the bonding moments that it created, I think the hardships that we had to overcome, that again, not every father-daughter has to, because they don't have a dad switching roles between coach and dad. So yeah, seriously, I tell people over and over and over again, and I don't know if my dad always believes me, but I would not trade it for the world. He was
He
the
believes
best coach, and I might be biased, but one of the best coaches in the state of Indiana, and the
Agreed.
best dad in my opinion. So yeah.
I think he would. I think he and many of our listeners would concur with all of that. And
Yes.
the reason I find this dynamic fascinating, I know I've talked to you, and I've certainly talked to your dad a couple times about, doing some more stuff where we talk about that dynamic because,
Yeah.
obviously it resonates with me. I coach both
Right.
my daughters, both at their school team and, in some of their like elite travel stuff, and plan to continue to do so. We have conversations as overt as this, where we talk about the fact that this does complicate a relationship, and we're all cognizant of it, even at a young age. When we go watch games, we talk scouting on the way home. My older daughter helps coach my younger daughter's team whenever she can.
Yeah.
So basketball is a huge part of our life, but it's a blessing in that it
Right.
amplifies a lot of our relationship and our relationship outside of basketball. Like when we are doing non-basketball things, we're just closer. But there are days where, my little fifth grader got chewed out yesterday, and she's like, "Why are you yelling at me? All three of us are doing it." And I was like, "Exactly. And it's your fault, right?" So, I mean, there's a lot of
Right.
pressure. So, what did you call your dad at practice? Meaning
I
not
think I
something
called
mean.
him
How did you
dad.
address him? Let's be more
No,
specific.
I think I called him dad. I won't lie. You'd have to
Did
ask
you?
some of my high school teammates, but I'm almost positive.
Okay.
That was if I was addressing him and he wasn't addressing me. Most of the time it was the other way around because, like you said, I was probably getting chewed out. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I think the only time I was actually saying his name was to get his attention for somebody else. So
Okay.
no, but yeah, no, but it was dad, I think, in practice even, which I don't know, that maybe looking back it shouldn't have been, but yeah,
Oh, I don't
that's
know
how
what's right or wrong. I know
it was.
with my younger daughter, it's hilarious that it is coach. And where
That's
the gym is,
great. I
hey,
love
coach. And it's been like that since third grade. And she played up a couple grade levels and she didn't want it to be dad. And she's like, but the second we get in the car, it's dad. But every once in a while, because she's a mental, just she's just wired for this man. Like she's always on go mode. I don't know where she gets it. So I mean, sometimes in the parking lot on the way in, it'll already be coach. And I was like, did the switch flip? Are we? She's in Kobe mode now. But yeah, it's really funny. I mean, it is coach in the gym, but very, very, very cognizant of it being dad once we walk out of the gym. So if it's not too personal, and we can defer if you don't like this one, after the game, what's that first half hour, 45 minutes like? Are you around dad? Because it's hard to shut it off as a coach, and it's really hard to shut it off as a player. So when does the switch flip where it is just dad and Caitlin rather than Coach Krebs and his star player?
I think if I'm gonna be completely transparent, I would be lying to you if I didn't say that there were some learning curves.
Of course.
Because I think on both ends, I had to figure out when, like you said, when was the best time to approach him, depending on what hat I wanted him to be wearing. And then I think same with him. I think we really had to learn. And part of it also may have been dependent upon my performance when I wanted to approach him, but
Sure.
no, I think I vividly remember constantly asking him after games, how did I play? Or what was good, what was bad, just simple questions, kind of trying to gauge from him how he thought I did. And I remember his response always being, "Do you want that coming from coach or dad?"
I asked
Because
the exact same question.
they're gonna have two completely different responses, most likely. Both probably ending in "I love you" and "I'm proud of you" and "I believe in you." And I think having a staple like that was probably what oftentimes prevented a lot of disappointment or conflict between us. But yeah, I think I learned that again, he stays in coaching mode really a lot of the time.
It's
And I
hard to
think
turn off.
that speaks to, again, how dedicated he is to his team, and continues to be. I can even say now, being removed from it, it never comes off. But I think by the time we got home, I could always, it's kind of like your daughter. I could always, it was my dad most of the time. Some nights better than others again, but I think I had to learn, like, I had to really get thick skin in a sense of he is always going to be my harshest critic because he's my coach. And I think I grew a lot from that and I learned a lot from that. But yeah, there were definitely learning curves to figuring all of that out. But I think, especially by my senior year, we did a great job of navigating kind of like, okay, this is what works, this is what doesn't. So
I
yeah.
think it's almost a sign of respect that he's coaching it a little harder too.
Yeah,
So
for
I'm
sure.
coming at it, I guess, from the dad angle, but I notice as my daughters get more and more serious, then I kind of meet them where they are. Where, I would imagine for your dad, not only does he have the knowledge, resources, connections, and ability to help you reach your goals, once it became your goal that I want to do this beyond high school, coddling you isn't doing you any favors.
No, right.
But
Exactly. And
that line is such a difficult one to walk, right? Do you want to hear, Caitlin, you played really hard and that was an excellent team and you gave it your best effort? Or do you want to hear, hey, you had a couple good drives when you got paint touches, but you took one extra dribble and that was a bad shot and you should have kicked it back out and you're not, you know what I mean? A couple of those screens you should have slipped. And like, do you want a breakdown of game film or do you want an atta girl? And a lot of times we want both at the same time and it's just an
Exactly.
impossible guessing game, right?
No, exactly. And that's where I think he did a really good job of like also figuring out for me what he felt like I needed to hear. And I think as a coach, again, like you said, that's half the battle because oftentimes it doesn't work to combine the two. And I can say that I feel like even now he's really figured it out. Like, okay, it seems like they're struggling. They probably don't need to hear that was a terrible shot. Like, and not that he ever said that, but like,
Oh,
you
sure.
know what I mean? It's just, I think it's this balance of like that goes beyond just like the dad and coach role. Like, even just for coaches, I think figuring being able to like really figure that out is half the battle because, especially with girls, I can say it can be one comment or one saying that gets spoken at the wrong time that can make or break their performance or make or break their confidence that day. And right or wrong, because again, my dad always talks about this elite level confidence that shouldn't be able to be fazed by what people say, but like, let's be real, it doesn't always work like
We're
that,
still
even in the
human
real
beings.
world.
Sure.
So yeah, I think it was again finding that balance on both of our ends of like knowing when to ask the right question and how to answer that like coach or dad question. Which most of the time was coach because I came to him wanting to actually know, like, no, actually, what did you think?
Yeah, you're talking hoops. That's fair.
Exactly. But at the same time, I think him knowing, like, even sometimes just being like, I don't think right now is the best time to talk about this. Let's pick this conversation up tomorrow, or let's talk before practice tomorrow. And timing, I think, was half the battle as well. So,
That's fantastic. Where I think that's a good lesson for coaches out there. You'll hear a lot of people, especially more inexperienced coaches, every player is treated exactly the same. And I always flinch at that and I say, well, what exactly do you mean? If we mean every player is treated the same and that I love them, I respect them, I value them, I care for them on and off the floor, I pray for them, absolutely every player is treated the same. If we mean that we're going to motivate, talk to, coach every player the same, you're failing because people aren't all the same. I mean, I've had some of my kids since they're in third grade. I know one or two that are going to respond really well if I push them hard, if I challenge them. I know one or two where that's not the correct approach, where we can critique, but it has to be prefaced with compliment, 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 support, tip, idea. Here's why this is going to improve. I know you can do it. I love you. Go kick some butt. Right. And every conversation is a little bit different. And then once we kind of master that, we get permission to coach our kid. And it sounds like really the biggest dynamic for you all was that it's pretty clear you gave your father permission to coach you. And for him, he's coaching one of his, if not the best player on his team. Whether you're related to him or not, the best player on your team wants to play college ball is going to get a little different push, a little different, intensity. So I'm going to talk to him about his tips for coaching his daughter. And the reason I'm so obsessed with this, like, look, most of the people listening to this right now are parents of athletes or coaches. And I find very, very often that the parent of an elite athlete is also their youth coach. A lot of reasons for that. One, there is some genetic, right? I mean, if your kid's a
No,
good
for
athlete,
sure.
decent chance mom and dad play the sport. They know it better than the other ones. They become the coach. Ta-da. So there's a lot of overlap with sport parent and youth sport coach. So from just the youth standpoint, right, thinking back, what are some tips you'd have for some boys and girls that are playing for mom and dad and want that caliber of relationship that you and your father had?
I think it goes back to kind of what you said, like, and it's hard when you're in that space, knowing that them pushing you is actually the biggest compliment that they could give you. Because it's when they stop, that's when you need to get concerned. And I think knowing that, like, it's that tough love that you're going to look back on and appreciate more than sometimes them coddling you. But I think it's also just, I think, and you've talked about it, and it seems like you do a very good job of it, making sure, and part of
Trying.
this, I think, is the role of the parent as well. But making sure that you're doing things that don't always revolve around your sport, because it can be really difficult, and there's some really tough moments where you're like, I just want him to take his coaching hat off. Like, I want my dad. And kind of dealing with that, I feel like is honestly the toughest thing. But knowing that, again, like, it's the biggest compliment they can give you, and that like they're human too. knowing that, like, just as much as I struggle sometimes taking my player hat off when I get home and he just reamed me in front of everybody and I'm so mad at him. Like, that's hard too. But like knowing that he's dealing with the same battle of like he wants to be my dad, but he also wants me to get to achieve my dreams and my goals. So I think it's just that mutual understanding, and it might be having really tough conversations too. I know that my dad and I had a million of them, even sometimes in the car ride home, where it's just like being the most transparent and vulnerable you can be. And sometimes those conversations end with you hugging one another, and it was the best conversation you could have ever imagined. And sometimes they don't. And just knowing that, like, again, you're both human, you're both going through those struggles, but don't let yourself go through them alone because they're going through the same thing, if that makes sense.
No,
So,
perfect. I hear you say like it's important where I think a lot of times the younger athlete figures it's all on coach, it's all on dad. But being proactive and saying kind of what you need and where you are, no, I think that's definitely what I think is funny too is you have this blessed vantage point of what you're 22, 23, 20, 22.
21.
21, 21. Okay, so still young, but we got a few years in the rearview mirror. I
Yeah,
joke
for
with
sure.
my dad all the time that it's amazing how much smarter he got when I hit about 24, 25. He
Exactly.
was
I
really
mean, they
dumb when
know
I was in high
everything.
school. I don't know what he figured out, but
No, I know.
it's pretty funny.
Exactly. Yes.
So I'm gonna go down maybe a little more challenging path here. So obviously, wonderful career at Southeastern University. It's led to just incredible opportunities to do ministry work, to do what you want to do with your life. Wonderful high school career playing with dad. Southeastern wasn't the first stop on the journey. So headed off to college, earned a scholarship, had a great high school career, got there, and maybe the expectation or maybe the experience didn't quite live up to the expectation. Is that fair? So, would you mind sharing a little bit about, and I know it's not the most happy part of the journey, but I do think there's a lot of people out there that could learn a ton from kind of your arc. So, tell me a little bit about your first stop after high school.
So I had committed to play at the university that I played my first year at, going into my junior year of high school. So I honestly, looking back on it, I was like, man, I was a baby. And it felt like I had it all figured out. I absolutely loved the coach that I committed to play for, and was super, super excited because it was those 2 years, like I said, that like my prep for college really started in terms of just getting bigger, faster, stronger. And I felt like I was going into this college experience super prepared. But there are some things that we just can't prepare for. And I was supposed to be on campus July 3rd. And beginning of June, I found out that my coach was moving elsewhere. So I have these 2 years where I'm super excited. I'm building this relationship with my coach, and it really feels like I'm going somewhere where I can call home. And then all of that is swept out from under me within like one split second. And so now I'm moving on to campus, not even really. I had had one phone call with my coach prior to getting on campus. And so as an 18-year-old, you're now away from home, and I knew nobody. I knew my other freshman teammate that was coming in. It was just the two of us. And I think that's kind of where things all started, was just it kind of started a little bit rough from the jump. And not to say that that doesn't happen to everybody, because coaches transfer and move all the time. You see it a lot more now than you, I feel like, did once upon a time. But yeah, you got there, and it just wasn't the same kind of coach that I had committed to. And but at that point, you know, it's you're in July. Basketball's preseason starts in August, and so there's not much that I could do at that point. And I think it was a lot of growing up really quickly, just because there were some things that had happened that I could have never told high school Caitlin would have happened. And I think I dealt with some mental health issues, just that had kind of been, I feel like, a ripple effect of that. That
Can we
has
say
been.
a different kind of coach? Like, what was the original coach you committed to? What
Yeah.
were maybe some of the differences where it just wasn't quite the fit you were looking for anymore?
Yeah. Was very, very family oriented in a sense of that the culture of the team was the most important thing. And she kind of felt like a mother figure. And I think part of my draw may have been playing for a parent, but she felt like a mom who had really figured out when to take the coaching hat off. And somebody that I could go to about anything. Just, and I think there was some comfort in that, knowing that I was going to be away from home for the first time. And I think my parents even found comfort in that.
I'm sure.
And so now I have this coach who doesn't even live here full time, isn't really super invested in the culture of the program because it felt like he was even looking for the next best thing while he was there. Which again, totally fine. It just wasn't what I was wanting. And I think I had committed to the school for basketball. And
Which
I
I think
quickly
most kids
realized,
do, yeah.
correct. I think I quickly realized I needed to like the school and like where I was at for the actual place where I felt like I could grow and really become who I am. And I didn't do that. I did it because it felt like the biggest and the best. And at the time it was. And I really do think if that coach would have stayed there, I would have played my 4 years out there and it would have been great. Praise God it didn't happen like that because I wouldn't be where I am today. If
Exactly.
it wouldn't have happened like
The
that,
gift of unanswered prayers.
exactly. No, seriously, it's like I think even after some of the things that had happened, just playing for a coach that I think was the complete opposite of what I wanted.
We say opposite, I mean, not just like culture, but just kind of tone, coaching style.
Culture,
Like it just
tone,
wasn't
coaching
resonating
style.
with
I
you.
think, yeah, just even the way that our coach treated us as individuals was something that I didn't even think was possible because I grew up in this very sheltered
I know.
community where it was like everybody loved everybody and that's just how it was. But just even like some of the terms and names used that I was like, what's happening? Like,
Right. Like you
and
are the your dad is, in addition to being an amazing coach, is, the son of
yes.
a preacher, so probably
Yeah.
while he's incredibly demanding,
Right, exactly.
he's not
And
going
I
to be demeaning to you on a personal level, and
no, for sure.
that's a tough adjustment, and frankly, one I don't think should exist, but I know it does. I know it
Yeah,
does.
and it wasn't even like, forgive me, it wasn't even like some of the like maybe the curse words used and stuff like that because I'd played AAU enough that like I kind of knew that was how a lot of people coached. I think it was just, again, it was the way that we were treated as individuals and it just felt like there was very little care. And I think that's something that like, again, I would go back and look at the people that I was surrounding myself with too, because it's more than just the coach. It's more than just some of the players on the team. It's like that as a whole. That is your family now because you're moving away from home. And so I think there were just a lot of factors. But yeah, it was definitely just, it was tough. It was something that, however, I can say, I look back and it was the greatest blessing. It was kind of one of those things that I could have never seen in the moment, but I would go back and relive time and time again. I would never encourage anybody else to do so,
Oh,
but
I get
just
it.
because I think that's when I really became like who I am now because I had to learn to vouch for myself. I had to learn to like stand up for myself because I no longer had parents that were doing that for me. So, yeah.
Yeah, forged, like sometimes we are forged by fire. So after
Yeah.
1 year, you were there 1 year and then decided to transfer, correct?
Yes, yeah.
So what was that conversation like? I mean, I had to be brutal on your father. Like we've talked a little bit about it off the record. I can't imagine just my daughters are still young, but just how fiercely protective I would be. And
Yeah.
then you add in the fact of that, like he knows so much about the sport and connected. That had to be brutal on him. I imagine it was brutal on you. So what was that conversation like? I guess just briefly, like to get to the point where this isn't working, I need another situation. Hopefully not many people out there listening are in that spot, but maybe some good advice. Like, how did you get yourself from a situation that wasn't right to one that was better?
I feel like looking back on it, prior to the conversation, I thought it was going to be much more difficult than it was, because I viewed it as being a quitter, I think, and that was just not how I was raised. You start something, you finish it out, and so I think, however, that freshman year was the first time where it felt like, oh my goodness, I got my dad back. Like, I just have my dad. And sometimes I will ask him for his coaching point of view, but that's only if I ask. He's never going to give that to me unless I ask, because he just gets to sit up there and beam with pride, getting to watch me do what I wanted to do my entire life. And so I think then to find out some of the things that were happening and some of the things that, like, you would never, ever, ever want for your kid. It was really hard for him to not come in and fix things for me. But like I said, it was that year that I really, like, became who I am. And so he, as hard as it was, both him and my mom had to come to that realization of, like, she's 18. We have to let her figure this out. We can give her all the advice in the world. And so I think then bringing up transferring to them honestly felt like I was figuring it out. Like, I think they realized, like, okay, she's willing to, like, I had done all the work, all the research, looked into all of the things of, like, here are some schools that I want to look at, here's where I potentially want to go. And I think that was another moment where, honestly, more than, like, he would have ever been proud of me on the floor, I think he realized, like, she did it. Like,
Awesome.
And so the conversation just went so much better than I could have ever imagined, because they were so incredibly supportive. And I think part of that was knowing that, like, they would have really honestly struggled more sending me back to that same situation the next year than they would
Sure.
have sending me 20 hours away from home. And I think that was, like, honestly, the thing that I realized the most was, coming out of high school, if you would have told me I was going to be living in Florida 20 hours away from my parents, I would have been like, yeah, right. And so I think it was also, like, for both of us coming to that realization of, it's not worth me being 2 hours away from home and unhappy if I can be joyful and extremely happy 20 hours away. And it
Love
makes
it.
the moments that I'm coming home not like this refuge point where I'm like, help me, and more like, come see what my life looks like.
That's awesome.
And so yeah, they were seriously, I could not rave about them enough. Like, they're the best parents in the world, and I think in that moment I really realized how much they love me, because they literally would have gone to the ends of the earth
Oh yeah.
to for me in that time. So yeah.
And to put a happy bow on it, because I always keep these tight, but I just find your story so fascinating. And I thank you so much for being vulnerable and raw and
Sure.
honest. And I think you're going to impact so many people with your story, with your testimony. And maybe to put a happy ending on this one, you're going to influence so many people with your life. So you had this great high school career, you had a fantastic college career. It has come to a close. You are now a real boring adult,
Yeah,
like the rest of us
right.
listening. So you are engaged, correct?
Yeah, yes,
You're
yeah.
engaged to a wonderful golf professional, right?
Yeah, he's
Studies
a
golfing.
professional golfer, yes, yeah.
So you meet your fiance, you're working for one of the most amazing churches in America, you're going to wrap up your degree, and the cool part is that those family relationships and sports were such a powerful vehicle to get you from where you were to the life that you want to live. And to me, those are the stories that we're trying to tell. So last question for you, for all those little girls out there that just adore and look up to college athletes and high school stars like yourself, what would you tell a young girl out there who's just beginning that recruiting journey? Maybe she's eighth or ninth grade or dreaming of it. What advice would you have for them to get to where you ended up?
Yeah, and it might not be what you're expecting. I don't know. Because obviously, my advice would be work hard, like, put in the work, because it's not easy,
Sure.
and it won't get any easier. But enjoy it. Don't let, like, the entire recruiting process strip your love of the game because it really quickly can take some of the pressure off yourself and just enjoy it. Because basketball, when you look back, is such a small part of your life in the grand scheme of things. And I wish I could tell myself not to get so wrapped up in everybody else's opinions and trying to get a scholarship and everything, because I think I would have had a lot more fun memories if I would have just let myself breathe a little bit. So yeah,
Yeah.
enjoy it, because it does not last forever. So
No, it does not. But thank you so much for sharing your ideas and wisdom. We're gonna keep praying for you and your ministry work and your family, and just an absolute pleasure to get to meet you.
yes.
Folks, you probably want more of both her and Coach Krebs. It's in the works. We're gonna get you guys back on here, and you're gonna
Yeah.
make a lot of father-daughter relationships across the world even stronger and more healthy. So, what a blessing to have you. I cannot wait to talk
Thank
to
you
you
for having
again,
me.
and thank you so much, and just an absolute honor to talk to you. Thank you, Caitlin.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Play in Faith podcast. If you love what you heard, please take a moment to rate our show and share it with your friends and fellow athletes. Together, we can spread the joy and positivity that youth sports deserves. And be sure to visit playinfaith.com for more fantastic resources. We're on a mission to build a vibrant community of Christian athlete mentors that are not just the voice your athlete will listen to, but one they should. Until next time, keep playing in faith.